I'm Peter Solomon. You're tuned to listener-driven Jazz 88. Tenor saxophonist J.D. Allen will be coming to the Twin Cities to play two concerts, one Friday evening at Jazz Central and the second one at Ice House on Saturday night with guitarist Cody Steinman. I caught up with J.D. Allen recently. We talked about his upcoming gigs and about his recent recording on Savant Records called This. I wanted to, focus our conversation, JD, on this most recent recording called This, which is different from all the other things that you've put out. It seems like every album, you're kind of going in a new direction. Can you kind of explain the impetus and what's behind this new album?
Sure. I mean, yeah, you actually basically said it in your introduction of me, and thank you for that. It's just simply spreading out, getting involved or becoming more conscious of the sonic, not necessarily a harmonic situation or a rhythmic situation, but landscapes, if you will, is kind of how I thought about that particular recording, This. It was recorded in London with a sound artist, Bonnie, and the drummer is Gwilym Jones. Yeah. My brother's from London. And there's no bass on it, so all of the harmonic material was basically coming from the electronics. And there were some chord changes and some definite melodies, and it was just basically a kind of like a Charles Ives, a classical composer, a mashup of just different things without different types of styles without compromise. So that was an experiment with that.
I read online that you were influenced by a lot of different things, and among the things that were cited was heavy metal or death metal specifically.
Well, in terms of death metal, I would say I actually really dig the bass lines of the death metal situation. The architecture of that particular form of music just intrigues me. It's very intense, usually intense bass lines, melodic, and harmonically, intervallic-wise, not that wide, if that makes sense.
And also, Beyoncé, and specifically her recent album, Renaissance.
I wanna house you, make it take my name, I'm gonna spouse you.
And Beyoncé, along with that, her last album, Renaissance, I took a listen to that, as I'm sure a lot of people did. And the thing that really amazed me was the use of sonic in terms of musical support, harmonic support. It seemed to be more of a sonic situation. So that gave me that.
When you say sonic, can you kind of elaborate a little bit further on what does that denote to you?
Well, you know, the sonic happens around us all the time. I mean, when you go outside, you hear horns, cars, you might hear something from an object that's not necessarily classified as a musical instrument, but it has a sound. Everything has sound. If you can imagine going somewhere and going to a crowded city and closing your eyes and imagine that is an orchestra, these different sounds that aren't necessarily classified as musical instruments, if that makes sense. So that's the sonic that happens around us every day, all day. So that's what I mean by the sonic, just natural sounds that's probably coming from something that's not necessarily natural, trying to build new landscapes.
Something that intrigues me about electroacoustic music is the process. Because when I'm hearing a recording, I'm asking myself, like, you know, how much of this, you know, consists of musicians responding to each other in real time versus what aspects of this might have been done, as they say, in post. But I mean, you know, like, what was the process when you were putting together your album? Was it all recorded and captured live, or was there some textures that were layered after your performance?
No, absolutely not. The one condition on doing this type of thing, for me anyway, is that it has to be live in real time. There was no post-production. We had 3 days in a studio in South London on a boat, actually. It was the first time I ever recorded on a boat. It's called The Lighthouse. We accomplished it live. That's very important that it's live for me, you know. So there was no post-production. Everything you heard were live performances. I mean, we recorded the album I would say there are 4 versions of a complete album. I just picked the best things that I thought would be palatable for sharing. You know, there was some more adventurous stuff that I didn't think that I could get away with. And I'm not sure if I got away with it with this album, you know, but.
What I also noticed listening to your album was that the tenor sound remained an acoustic tenor sound. When I was coming up and first hearing wind instruments that were processed through electronics, I mean, I'm a trombone player, and it used to turn me off because you lost a lot of the nuance, or I should say it changed a great deal. You know, I'm thinking of Miles Davis with the wah-wah pedals on some of his 70s recordings. Was that something that you kind of decided for yourself, that your saxophone was going to just remain an acoustic voice?
Yeah, you know, that was very, I didn't want to alter my sound because I work hard in trying to achieve a beautiful sound. So I think that would have been me compromising from my end. The thought it came up, but I quickly nixed that, you know, so everything had to be what it is. And we share a space where we're all being ourselves fully and trying to make music out of that situation. So no, I didn't want to alter the tenor saxophone at all.
Had you played with these other two musicians before?
I played with Willem quite a bit in London, but more in the trio setting. Bonnie was new to me. When I was asking around for people who were specialists at sound artistry, his name came up quite a bit, and I just cold called him and asked him if he would be interested, and he was interested. The idea of not having a bass was by accident, because originally it was going to be bass, drums, electronics, and saxophone, but the bass player, who's a great bass player, couldn't make the rehearsal. And once we tried it without the bass, I felt that it was a little more malleable in terms of being able to move quickly, you know, just dealing with the electronics.
You're going to be featured playing with bass and drums. And if I'm not mistaken, that's a context you kind of exploit a lot. I was going to ask you about why you're attracted to that. It kind of brings to mind the music that Sonny Rollins recorded at the Village Vanguard and other things where he's just featured with bass and drums.
Mm-hmm. And Ornette Coleman. We have to mention Mr. Ornette Coleman. Definitely. Because that's definitely one. And Henry Threadgill's Air. I mean, I've tried to listen to Albert Eiler did it. A lot of people have done it. That's a fun configuration for me. I feel like in that situation, I feel it allows for me to time travel in a way. That's how I think of it. With the piano, I love piano, and I've done a couple albums with it. I still need to sit down and figure out where I would like that to go. But in terms of just bass and drums, stylistically, I feel that I could move around in a more sections of the music versus just, okay, this particular chord sounds like something Herbie would play, or Bill Evans, or Red Garland, you know. So without that situation in terms of framing it harmonically with the piano, there's still harmony going on. It's just a pianoless situation, not a chordless, but it enables me to have space to be able to play free if I want to, or play the changes straight up, or play in a modern way, or just move around very quickly. So that configuration is quite fun.
Are you working on a new recording project right now?
Yeah, actually, I just went into the studio in January and recorded actually two basses and drums and tenor saxophone. And that, like, once again, that's not something that's, well, you'll hear it. You know? Hopefully you'll listen to it. It's just templates, you know, and trying to figure out how to work with two basses was quite a challenge for me anyway, and dealing with space and things like that. But yeah, it hopefully it'll come out in August, you know. And along with that, there's supposed to be a short film that's the music was kind of based off of, that hopefully people will be able to view some of the film along with listening to the music, a soundtrack of sorts.
Oh, cool. Cool, cool, cool. Always going in new directions. Tenor saxophonist J.D. Allen. His most recent album is called This. It came out on Savant Records late last year and features Alex Bonney on electronics and Gwillem Jones on drums. J.D. Allen will be performing two shows in the Twin Cities, one this Friday evening at Jazz Central with drummer Abinet Berhanu and bassist Jeff Bailey, and another one with Cody Steinman's trio at Ice House. And J.D. Allen tells me that trumpeter Solomon Parham will be joining him on both of these shows. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.